Welcome back to Sports Day. Our number is 922-1882. Perth Glory owner Tony Sage has gone to London. Football Exchange was the big news. And a man who works in cryptocurrency as an advisor, Port Phillip Publishing is the name of his business. He's based in London, is Sam Volkering, and it's great to have him on Sports Day. Welcome, Sam.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
We're going really well.
Thanks for joining us, Sam. Mate, firstly, could you explain to our listeners quickly what is cryptocurrency first and foremost? How does it work? Then Bitcoin and also blockchain. I think our listeners sometimes get a bit confused with all of those words.
Well, how long have you got, guys? But might as well try and crack on with the simplified version. So Bitcoin is a kind of cryptocurrency which people can buy to use, to spend, or to store and save. It exists on a blockchain. I think that's where a lot of people fall down is they don't necessarily understand that the blockchain is the underlying technology that allows things like Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency to exist. So like mentioned with Perth Glory and a cryptocurrency and all those sorts of things, is there's a few pieces to the puzzle with all of this, but I think the easiest way to understand it is the underlying technology here is blockchain, and what exists on top of that or as part of that system is cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin.
And what have you made of the London Football Exchange over there in London? Can you see it working? They want to create their own tokenized ecosystem. Can you explain a bit of your understanding of how this may work?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting development, particularly when it comes to football, because as we know, a lot of football clubs, and particularly here in the UK, are owned by very rich organisations, very rich people, but they change hands quite regularly. And I think what London Football Exchange are actually trying to do is to, like you said, tokenise, I guess, football clubs in terms of shares and fan tokens and things like that, which maybe down the track gives the opportunity for fans to buy shares or buy equity in their favourite football clubs, but doing it through the form of a cryptocurrency or a token that represents a part of that club. So this development with Perth Glory is really interesting in terms of it's a really big step forward, bringing blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies into the sporting arena, and opening up a whole new way of looking at football club ownership, I think.
And what would be the attraction for the sporting clubs in this sense? Is it the capital that they could raise up front to start something like this?
Yeah, look, I think it's a two-pronged approach from the actual clubs, is that, yes, they could raise capital and potentially even get higher valuations on their clubs. Because if you think about fans owning clubs or owning parts of clubs, I mean, the most diehard supporter base any club has is their home fans. And it's quite possible that the excitement and the exuberation of fans potentially owning a slice of their club could even drive valuations up on that. But it also engages with their fans. So it makes them feel a much more part of the ecosystem. It gets them possibly even coming to more games. So there are real tangible benefits, I think, down the track with how fans relate to clubs and how clubs relate to fans with this sort of thing.
Sam, how many cryptocurrencies are currently in the market and how many of them have been successful? I know Bitcoin only this week soared to $10,300. There's talk of the US Federal Reserve actually investing in it. So we've got governments buying stock. How is that part of the world moving?
So to be honest, it's hard to even put a figure on how many different cryptocurrencies there are. Mainly for the fact that really anybody could theoretically start their own cryptocurrency. But references are somewhere in the vicinity of sort of 5,000 to 6,000 different cryptocurrencies. Now, that might terrify a lot of people. But like you said, a lot of them aren't necessarily worth anything. And they're more almost like an experiment, a technology experiment. So when you look at the things that actually have some sort of, I guess, tangible value or some sort of applicable nature to people and how they interact and transact, you know, you'd say there's probably a few hundred that have got some sort of real longevity. And they're not just something that's going to disappear as well. As you know, the way that the technology is set up and the way that it works in a peer-to-peer network is that you can't just stop these sorts of things. You can't kill them off. A lot of people say that they're not worth anything. They're a scam and they're a fraud and all those sorts of things. But it's a whole new look at how we deal with money, transactions, assets, and that interaction between not just people, but people and organizations, and people and governments, all those sorts of things are being sort of re-established and rebuilt with cryptocurrency.
If I want to invest in the Perth Glory, if this deal gets done, which it's not complete yet, we believe, with the London Football Exchange, but if we invest in it and just say it's a dollar and my shares go up to $10, how do we get our money back? How do we get our money out of it? Where do we trade them?
So with a lot of these sorts of cryptocurrencies, and something like the Football Exchange is trying to do as well, is they're not only just building, I guess, the network for these assets to exist, but they're also looking to build exchanges. So another big part of the cryptocurrency ecosystem is exchanges and how people can buy and sell or trade these tokens or these cryptocurrencies. So theoretically, if it gets FFA approval and then they do tokenize equity in the club and sell it off and things like that, I would assume that they're going to then have a parallel exchange, almost just like a mobile app, really, that you could log into and buy and sell your equity or shares in the club that way. So the whole sort of point of this as well is to get access to these sorts of things that previously people couldn't get access to. So having an exchange and having this instantaneous transfer potential means that you could literally, in an application, just buy and sell shares or equity in something like a football club.
Do you think this is the start for blockchain and cryptocurrency working in sport? I've seen articles about NBA player Spencer Dinwiddie, who wants to tokenise his contract. Can you explain to us listeners a little bit more about how that may work?
Yeah, so we're absolutely just scratching the surface with how cryptocurrency and blockchain technology can work in sport. So with Spencer Dinwiddie, he's got a 3-year, $34 million contract. So what he was looking to do was to roll part of that forward into an upfront payment, I think about $13.5 million. So in order to do that, he had this idea of tokenizing his contract. So what he'd do is he'd sell tokens in his contract, thereby getting that upfront payment, and then the tokens would then represent payments out to him ongoing. So it's kind of like just selling his contract, but rather than going through all the rigmarole of lawyers and trying to get all these people together, by tokenizing it, he makes it a very simple process where people can come in, buy, and then potentially even trade or sell the tokens down the track. Now, the NBA did kind of say that's not kosher right now, but I believe they are looking at a revised offering that he's trying to do. So, you know, that's one aspect of it, and that's just with the NBA. You know, you look at something even like golf, perhaps, and how hard it is for a young professional to make it to the pro tour. Requires funding and things like that. And you hear about them raising money from sponsors and from investors to help fund that journey. You know, you could tokenize that. You could sell that off for potential earnings and things like that. So when we talk about cryptocurrency in sport, things like player contracts, I even remember last summer in the Premier League transfer window, they were talking about using cryptocurrencies for contract transfers to make them instantaneous, to make them seamless, to avoid a whole bunch of fees and intermediaries. So contracts and player transfers, that's just another part of how cryptocurrency and blockchain could fit into the sport arena.
What about over there in London? You mentioned a few clubs, but there are also some sponsorships that do exist currently between exchanges and some of the big Premier League clubs.
Yeah, so it seems like the Premier League's going, at least the clubs are going full on into the crypto space. So CoinDeal, they've got a shirt sleeve sponsor with the Wolverhampton Wanderers. Sportsbet.io, they've inked a deal with Watford. And so now when you watch a Watford game, if you have a look on the sleeve of all the players, you'll see just a Bitcoin logo, Bitcoin symbol on their sleeves, which is quite cool as well. That's definitely going to hit a wide audience. Manchester City as well, so they've partnered with a company called Superbloke, which is, I think they believe they're a Korean company, but they're building a blockchain-based game called FC Superstars. And so what City plan to do is to tokenize their players in a form of a sort of a blockchain card. Sort of like, you remember how we used to collect Stimmerol footy cards or select footy cards back in the day? or Upper Deck and you know, Fleer basketball cards. So City are effectively doing that, but in the digital world. And so that kind of then becomes a collectible. So if they do a limited run of, you know, five Sergio Aguero tokens or something like that, they all of a sudden become collectible and potentially even valuable. So, again, this is a whole nother arena, again, around merchandise, collectibles, memorabilia that you could use blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies for.
Sam, we could talk to you for another half an hour, but we don't have time. Thank you very much for your time. Anyone listening in Perth who wants to get hold of you, you are based in London, Port Phillip Publishing. You can subscribe to your expertise. How do we get in contact with you?
Yeah, so the easiest way is to head to our website, portphillippublishing.com.au, or my own personal website as well is samvolkering.com, and there's all the information there you need to find out more about the services that we offer.
Thanks for your time, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate having a chat with you.
Good on you, Sam Volkering. Hopefully that clears it a little bit for you out there. Interested in your thoughts, 922-11882. Are you a investor? I think some of us have taken risks in our lives with investments, whether that's into a business, whether that's into some shares on the share market. 922-11882. Macca's mini games are here. You can play and win daily for food prizes only on the My Macca's app. Imagine if you had a crypto app and how would that work? 922-11882 is that number.